Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Molecular Partners conference call regarding the FDA decision of Abiticar. I am Sandra, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Thomas Schneckenburger, Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Sandra. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome everybody to this conference call in relation to the joint news release, which we have just published together with our partner Allergan regarding the FDA decision on the BLA for Abiticar. With me here in the room in Schlieren are Patrick Amstutz, the CEO of Molecular Partners, Andreas Emmenegger, the Chief Financial Officer, and Michael Stumpp, the COO of the company. Moreover, on the phone in the US, we have also Seth Lewis, our SVP IR, comms and strategy. Patrick will start this call with a few opening remarks before we will move over to take your questions. Before starting, we just wanted to remind you that our communication may contain certain forward-looking statements and assessments or intentions regarding the company and its businesses. For the full disclaimer, we refer you to our PR just published. And with that, Patrick, over to you.
Thank you, Thomas, and good morning to everyone online. Today, we will recap the recent announcements regarding the complete response letter issued by the FDA in response to the BLA for Abiticar for the treatment of wet AMD. While this is a disappointing decision for that program, we remain positive about the development of data supporting our highly validated platform and diverse portfolio of next-generation DARPin candidates. We need to highlight that there is no crosstalk of intraocular inflammation to any of our other programs, which are all systemic. Indeed, most ocular injected products, antibodies, fragments thereof, had to overcome inflammation and were able to do so. We also want to use the opportunity to look beyond the Abiticar and discuss our portfolio with transformative potential for patients. So what happened and what are the implications for us? Abiticar got a complete response letter from the FDA for the two phase three trials, Cedar and Sequoia. The inflammation rate seen in these trials was too high, leading to an unfavorable risk-reward profile. AbbVie will now work closely with the agency to define the next steps for the drug candidate, Abiticar. So what is our view on this? In principle, we share the assessment that the inflammation rate was too high in the phase three material that was used in the studies. In our eyes, the high ocular inflammation rates reported in Cedar and Sequoia are very likely attributed to a suboptimal manufacturing process. We have worked with AbbVie to refine the manufacturing process, leading to improved purity profile of the new material. This profile was supported in a small clinical trial, namely MAPLE, showing less inflammation, but this was not included in the filing. The plan was never to launch the phase three material, but to change to improved material after launch. Obviously, this plan is now outdated, and AbbVie will work with the agency to discuss next steps. While this is a very disappointing moment, we are proud of the achievements for Abiticar, demonstrating that the DARPin platform can deliver drugs from an idea up to filing. Further, we will capture all the learnings for future candidates and are positive of the discussions AbbVie will have with the agency. What are the implications for our pipeline and our next steps? Again, there is no technical crosstalk from ocular inflammation to our current pipeline in oncology and virology, and we have validated the use of multi-DARPins in clinical studies with good safety and low immunogenicity. While the approval milestone is now not immediately available to us, we are well financed into the second half of 21. Given the current focus, we have decided to minimize our investments in MPO-250 and 274, while we continue to fully invest in immuno-oncology and virology. We have a clear strategy in immuno-oncology, where we unlock two potent modes of action by localizing activity. With tumor-localized immune agonist candidates like MP0310, partnered with Amgen, and 317 that is fully owned. 310 binds FAP and 4-1BB, 317 binds FAP and CD40. Further, we're investigating the value of our next generation T-cell engager platform. On top of that, we aim to expand the target space by targeting peptide MHC complexes that are quasi-inaccessible for antibodies. Here we have a large investment to build an active DARPin portfolio. Both the unlocked two-potent modes of action and the expand strategies were presented earlier this week at AACR. We also continue to invest and recognize the DARPin value and opportunity in virology, namely with our COVID DARPin. We're now in preclinical trials, and to our knowledge, we have one of the most potent, if not the most potent, anti-COVID drug that shows neutralization on live virus and in any assay reported to date. This program is an excellent demonstration of the DARPin's ability to be fast, to have multi-modes of action in one molecule, and to provide truly differentiated value at super speed in a global pandemic situation. We will also continue our strategy of partnering with leaders in the field like Amgen or AbbVie to also cross-finance our internal activities. Let me summarize before I open for questions. I want to close by thanking my team and shareholders for their sustained commitment to scientific innovation and delivering a class of incredibly differentiated drugs for patients. Our team stands strong and motivated. We are determined to take this moment as a reset, take in all the learnings, and push forward to generate patient value with our candidates in immuno-oncology and virology. With that, I would like to open the call for questions and ask also my co-workers to help me take those questions. Thanks.
The first question comes from Richard Vosser from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. First question is, could you give us more detail on the process forward for Abicipar? As you said, Maple wasn't included. Is the idea for AbbVie to try and get that included and try and get approved? Or is it more difficult? What path forward do you need to further optimize the material from Maple? Second question, in terms of MP250, here the emphasizing in terms of investment in MP250 today, but is that still open for partnering? What is the strategy there? And then a final question, just on the anti-COVID neutralizing DARPin, just the next steps there and how quickly we could see that going forward and into man. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Richard. All great questions. So I will give it a stab and then ask my colleagues to add on top. So the MAPLE trial was a smaller trial. It was 123 patients, and that was an improved formulation. I think there is even further improvements ongoing. And this trial was never powered to go to the agency. So that was an internal trial. And I'm sure this data will be used in the discussion, but it's not a randomized masked trial, just to keep that in mind. So I think what we have to refer to is AbbVie's discussion now, and we believe that they can further and have further improved the material. MAPLE allows them to know that they're on the right way, and this gives them the basis to have the discussion with the agency. How the discussion will turn out and what the recommendations will be, we'll have to see. But there we trust in our partner, AbbVie, to lead that discussion and bring it well on track. NPO250. So the kind of going forward less investment we have actually already kind of publicly announced in our last R&D day. Keep in mind the study is still open. It's not open for recruitment, but we still have patients on it. And also the idea of partnering, and I would like to stress the idea of collaborations is open. So we are talking with potential partners who want to test their favorite combination. So don't think as it of out-licensing immediately, more an openness to run additional trials. These can also be preclinical work, clinical work to test ideal combinations in multiple myeloma. We took that decision because we didn't know which combination for us would be the winning one. So it was a situation where we had to decide not to invest because the molecule is not good, but that the whole therapeutic landscape is too complex. I come to the COVID question. So there we're going full steam ahead. And we are preparing to be able to dose patients in the second half of this year. And so far, all is on track for that. So we're finalizing the preclinical package there. We're organizing the manufacturing, and we will update in the coming days on that.
Can I just ask a clarification, two clarifications just on the first thing?
Please.
It sounded like... is there a recommendation for the FDA for further randomized clinical trials? And then second question, what's the process on Europe in terms of Abispar? Thanks. Yeah.
So the randomization part, I would just want to, I don't know what the FDA says or does. It was more, this was a trial that was made for an internal decision if the material was going in the right direction. It was not powered to have randomization in there. That's what I wanted to say. If the, what the FDA wants from AbbVie, they have to discuss. I'm not in the picture there. So that's that part. I think the other filings are still open and are being pursued. So I cannot comment on an open discussion there.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Zoe Caramanoli from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my question. Just one question regarding the CRL letter. Do you have any more details whether that was a type 1 or type 2 variation?
Hi, Zoe. This is Michael. I'm very sorry. We don't have any further information. We cannot comment. Would love to know as well.
Okay. Okay, fine. Will there be any further updates later on in the next couple of days, you think?
I think that's highly unlikely.
Okay. And all right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dorian.
The next question comes from Bernard Signorelle from Bainvest AM. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. As you can imagine, I'm pretty disappointed, as well as everybody else. But back to facts, I just remember that a couple of weeks ago, Beovu, so basically the competitive product of Novartis, has received another approval for its similar product. Even they had some well-known some netout publishers, I don't know the word in English. My question is just, when do we know what you really need to bring more data? What is the time frame? When do you know more? And so that we can judge, is it an issue which takes half an year? Is it an issue that takes 1 year? And your finances will last another year. What if you need, let's say, 2 years, 1.5 years? Will AbbVie be fully behind you in terms of financing? What's the time frame? When do we know more details about this this issue? Thank you.
Thanks, Benny. We definitely share the disappointment. I mean, we definitely were also hoping for a very different outcome here. I will just give you a top-level answer and then let Michael give you a more technical answer on the Beowulf situation. So on the financing side, you are right. This milestone is now today not available to us. So we have still, as I pointed out, more than 1 year runway. And I think what we also have to make clear is that we have to shift the focus away from Abicipar. Indeed, we have been trying to do so very much in the last years and to really focus on other areas we are building value, which is immuno-oncology, which is now also the COVID space. And I think there we are building value that also was always a bit in the shadow of Abicipar. And when I said the reset button, it's not that we want to reset the pipeline, reset anything. We're doing more the focus on Abicipar, that we can move it a bit out of the system and focus on the other exciting pipeline programs that we find get a bit under-viewed and underestimated because of the Abicipar setting. And so that's where I brought in the idea of like resetting the focus also from the outside. And I would hand over to Michael to give you some sentiment on the discussions. And I think the Beowulf is setting a level of inflammation that is acceptable. Obviously, keep in mind, we had 15% in the phase 3, which is a higher number than Beowulf had. But I think you're definitely on the right track of the discussions that we will be having with FDA. Michael.
Yeah, thanks for the question. This is Michael. I think we all share your disappointment. It's very clear. We were hoping for another outcome. Now, to which extent the Beowulf has helped or not helped is, I think, open to speculation, but we were certainly also disappointed to see that they had similar problems. Hopefully, they can work through that and help patients in future, as well as AbbVie Allergan colleagues. What exactly that means in terms of timing, I don't know. So AbbVie has just taken over Allergan. I guess they're also discussing the next steps. And once they have determined that, they will certainly discuss with the FDA the next steps. And then at some point, we will all know. But currently, we don't know the timing.
Okay, but would you plan maybe the doctor of MAPLE to bring in or maybe add some new patients from this study, because those numbers were really excellent as I remember them?
I agree with you, but we don't know what AbbVie is planning right now.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, so far there are no more questions.
Thank you, operator.
So,
sorry to interrupt, we have a question from John Miller from Reuters. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is John Miller. Hey, could you please outline, you talked about being okay through 2021, but could you outline steps to fund the company given that the milestone payments will be missing? Thanks.
Yeah, so our financial guidance is always without any milestones. And in a biotech, you always have different options of financing, and it's just prudent to have all everything open. And in the past, that's where kind of I like to refer to, we have been very successful in fundraising, and this will be our way in fundraising also via partnering. So, or in the capital market. So we have everything open to us. So we're not in a rush today to kind of act, but on the partnering side, we have activities. I mean, we touched on some. It was also clear that the COVID DARPin we will not be able to pursue alone. So also there we have partnering opportunities. So I think there is a key focus, but I would say that's really in line with our normal course of business. And I think that's where kind of we are today. We move forward. This would have been a great way to kind of invest. Now we will have to find other ways, also cross-funding via partnering. And I think that has been very favorable for us in the past. And I think we will continue to kind of follow that strategy.
Any other questions? Yes, the next question comes from Charles Weston from RBC. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my questions. I have two, please. The first is, can you list out the potential clinical or other catalysts over the next 12 months, perhaps except COVID, which you've already talked about? And secondly, just with regard to the timing of AbbVie's meeting with the FDA, I know you don't, well, you said you don't know the specific timing on that, but is there some sort of industry norm after a CRL letter? Does the FDA generally make themselves available quite quickly? Just trying to get a sense of when the next news flow might be on that.
Okay, so let me just quickly start with the catalysts or the activities that are ongoing in our pipeline, and I'll start in immuno-oncology. I'll start with the most advanced immuno-oncology asset, which is 310. We're in a clinical trial there. We're in the single agent dose escalation. That is a partnership with Amgen. As soon as we have a meaningful dose, a minimally active dose, Amgen will take over combination trials. And that is something where we're striving definitely to reach still this year, that those trials can start next year. I think this is an important milestone for us. Then we have 317, which is also a tumor local agonist. So 310 was a T-cell T-cell activator. 317 is a bit broader. It targets FAP and CD40. There we are in late preclinical development, and we aim to file by the end of the year to we can dose first patients next first half of next year. Then we will have a readout of, let's say, the single agent activity likely by maybe end of the year, and also plan then combination trials. On the research side, we have the peptide MHC activities. We just had a poster at AACR demonstrating that we can move forward and get highly specific binders. This opens the ability to do additional candidates, and we want to do more than one, so we expect some activities there. That's also an area where we can team up with other companies. This area is very large, it's very hot, and that's kind of one area for partnerships too. And then we're working on the next generation T-cell engagers or also other local activators where we hope to have obviously preclinical data, let's say also for early next year around AACR. So all in all, we see activities there, but I think the key events, and you're right, are on the COVID program where we're going super fast and we want to dose first patients still this year. So there we expect to have the highest impact, as that will be clinical data, start one trial still this year, and then move fast into different settings.
Thanks for your question. This is Michael. So I think you asked about the industry norm for typical timelines after a CRL. What I can say is I know for sure that the AbbVie Allergan team has prepared very well for all possible outcomes, including this one. So I think it will be a matter of weeks, maximally months, until they sit together with FDA, probably virtually, and have an agreement on what that means and how they go forward. I'm not sure about AbbVie's communication policy, so I would expect only to see something maybe at their quarterly call or in one of the databases what they have sort of decided to do.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to the management for any closing remarks.
So thanks from my side for everyone joining. Definitely not the news we wanted to share, but definitely a clearing moment, and we're moving on as a strong team. Thank you for your support, and thanks for being on the call and asking all the questions. We will update as we go forward. Thanks.